Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Do the hammerlock. I do the hammerlock. Do the hammerlock, you turkey necks. Yeah, do the hammerlock. I do the hammerlock.
Everybody's doing it. Hello, friends. Chris here of Chris Things Art, and welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things. I am your host, your pal, your wrestling art dude, and today we get back to the Match of the Week edition of the podcast. Yes, we got quite a bundle of matches of the week that we're falling a little bit behind week by week as we go. It happens, but we're endeavouring to get caught back up. Today we'll be talking Match of the Week number... What do we got here? Match of the Week number 107 and 108. How about that? My gosh. Yep, so we're going to be joined by a dear pal of the show, Richard of Video Plant, is the dude who I thought none more apt to be talking about these two matches in question. Thought they were really up Richard's alley here, especially with the amazing Video Plant project. And I know for a fact that Richard has that Full Brawl War Games 1994 VHS tape. I've seen it in this glorious Video Plant basement passion installation art project, whatever we might call the Video Plant. I'm very excited about it. A faux VHS store. I for those who might not be aware, I've done a bunch of stuff with Richard so far as part of this incredible Video Plant project, and I have really loved like every moment of it. Like the kind of stuff that he's gotten me to do is like so lines up with my interests and my passions as an artist as well. For me to like put a bit of kind of like my personality and my artistic whatever you call it into to shape and you know have sort of like an impact on this super cool project has just been such a wonderful thing for me. So I'm excited to be chatting it up with Richard when we have him on later in the show. I am sure we will hopefully get to talk a little bit about the latest haps in Video Plant, and I know we're working towards a new website for Video Plant, which I'm very excited about. So we'll talk all about that to Richard, including talking all about these two matches that I absolutely love, that being the War Games 1994 bout of the Stud Stable versus Team Nasty Dreams, match that we watched at Wrestling Club a few months back, and a match that I just absolutely adore. One of the real underrated War Games matches, I would say. Followed by just an incredible, totally different Lucha Libre Llaveo clinic. That is the great match from Lucha Memes, from Arena Cuajalco, the tremendous Hechicero versus Jelwa match from last year. So looking forward to talking to Richard all about that. In the meantime, this is my moment where I talk to you guys, give you the latest haps in the world of Chris Things art. And just what I've been up to, as you know, if you've been listening to the last couple of weeks, the Oddities and Curiosities Expo have been a big part of my life of late. I have been traveling interstate, had a whole, you know, the last week's episode was me just like rambling all about it, and you know, also just how much Oddities has had such a big impact on my life, on my art life, and me getting to do this thing, and so yeah, give that a listen if you feel like. But we finally got to the end of it. This past weekend in Sydney was the last of my Oddities and Curiosities Expo weekends of selling my art at this wonderful event, celebration of alternative all things weird and freaky. And thankfully my art has a place in there somewhere. But, dude, immediate thoughts now that it's all over. It was just a wild ride of a year doing this, like, 3 weekends in a row in all different states. But so darn good. I really enjoyed every moment of it. I got to meet so many really cool people. Got to have so many just fantastic chats. You know, ranging from, you know, like, obviously I do enjoy talking about my art, so that's like quite a really nice thing to get to do as part of it. But, you know, also, you know, chatting about movies, chatting about, you know, wrestling, of course. Had a lot of like really great chats of like people who are, you know, fellow wrestling obsessives like me, that I got to talk to in these different cities. And all at the end of the day, I think it all is about that exchanging of passions and, you know, putting your enthusiasm for especially, you know, somewhat strange passions. I just, you know, I really love getting to do that. See someone's eyes light up when they can see that you're into something that they're really into. I loved it, man. So I wanted to, you know, say an official massive thank you to everyone that I got to meet over these last few weeks in Oddities in Melbourne and Brisbane and Sydney at the events. If any of you guys happen to be listening to this right now, welcome. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Chris Things. Thank you so much if we had a chat, and thank you so much for supporting if you did that as well. But yeah, dude, I just had a ball, honestly. Massive thank you to the great team that, like, organizes the Oddities and Curiosities Expo. They did such a fantastic job. Make you feel, like, valued as an exhibitor as well, which is, like, super cool. And of course, like, all my, you know, fellow, like, artists and different people there, you know, as vendors selling stuff as part of Expo, like, the Oddities Expo, I just really felt like such a, you know, togetherness, like, and support that, you know, you don't necessarily always get. I mean, I've met some wonderful, wonderful friends, you know, through doing these kind of events, and yeah, I just think the community is just fantastic, and I really do appreciate it. I want to also just say, like, weirdly, when I got to the end of that last day, the Sunday, I got to the end of it and I saw the clock running out, and if anything, like, I kind of had a bit of a sadness, you know. It's like you sort of get to the end and it's like, yay, oh phew, it's over. But like, I was just kind of like, oh man, it's over. You know, I just really enjoyed it so much, and I was sort of like, oh man, I'm a little bit sad that we've got to the end of this year. But yeah, hopefully we'll be doing it all over again next year for Oddities Australia 2026. Hopefully they'll have me back. But yeah, man, such a good time. You know, one interesting thing I wanted to make mention of as well, you know, while I got you here, you know, I like to sort of use this as a bit of a personal journal kind of deal and take you behind the curtain of you know, just being the guy being like, hey, here's my art, buy my art, which you can do if you go to christhings.com.au. and follow at Chris Things on Instagram. You can buy all the things there, prints, t-shirts, calendars, all the stuff. But no, what I was meaning to say there is I want to take you behind the curtain, be a bit more real with you. One thing that I have been struggling with when I am away, it does have a bit of an impact and puts a bit of pressure on your relationships. I don't know if anyone else out there like travels as part of their work, but you know, that's one thing I'm still kind of trying to get right, because you know, being away, it is hard to, you know, you try to stay in touch, but like still, like you're away and you're not spending time together. So that's one of the things I'm trying to work on at the moment, to try to you know, when I get back, to put that energy into, you know, my relationships, especially, you know, my partner Kaylin, who supports so much for my art and, you know, these expos and my traveling carny lifestyle. She was actually there like by myself for a majority of that Brisbane one as well, which I really liked. But yeah, that's one thing I'm sort of like just trying to work out, you know, how to do this and also be a good boyfriend kind of thing, you know, when I have that time away, and then to kind of like make up for that. So that's something I'm working on. It's not like I got any like great spiritual words of wisdom here for anyone else out there doing this. More just me like talking into the void about, you know, hopefully, you know, the more I do this, the better I can get at that balance. That's kind of something I'm trying to work on at the moment, balance between work and life. But anyway, thank you again so much, everybody out there who makes this thing work. I had such a great time at Oddities, and I'm loving all the commission stuff that I'm doing as well right now. So massive thank you for everyone out there who's gotten me on board with various commission projects. Super stoked on that. But with that being said, I think it's time for some Match of the Week. Okay, ladies and gents, we are back for another edition of the Match of the Week special thingy of this podcast. And this week, I have two very special matches. I mean, I like to think they're all somewhat special, but these ones in particular just really shouted out to me that I needed to be talking to someone here today that that can really appreciate the special vibes that these matches bring. And the first guy that I thought about, I swung a message to, and I have on the line today, welcome back to the show, dear friend of Wrestling Art with Chris Things, Richard of Video Plant.
So much for the intro. Happy to be here to chat about these two matches.
Oh mate, I like I said, you were honestly the first guy that I thought about when I thought about, like, more so than, I mean, each match on their own, but also like the combination of these two matches representing to me like kind of like the two extreme, I mean, very different ends of the wonder of professional wrestling, and you are really someone that I thought could get on board with that.
Absolutely, thank you. I mean, in terms of connecting it to the Video Plant, I love the I'm a big fan of the Fall Brawl War Games VHS.
Yes,
it's got a kind of a well known cover, and I've got the tape right here. And so when you mentioned it, I was really excited. I thought I might have time to watch it on VHS, but I didn't. I wasn't able to pull it off, but I got it right here. Got the cover. I'm looking at it.
Oh, tremendous. It's such a cool cover. I remember getting this thing from the video store that we had here back in the day. I think it was a Blockbuster Video that we had here in the Brisbane suburbs back in the day. And just thinking it was so cool that, like, classic green and yellow, like, the classic sort of, like, chain link fence motif. Is this the one that has, like, the tank as part of the logo-y thing as well?
Yeah, this cover has, it's got the green and yellow Fall Brawl. It's got War Games inside the little tank. And it's got, you know, those hands gripping onto the cage. And at the bottom, it says uncut and unedited, which, you know, I mean, you'd think there'd be a lot of blood with that, but not this time, not this one.
I mean, sadly, this was during that period of the blood ban of WCW, in which famously Dustin Rhodes would end up getting fired from the company for, in that incredible King of the Road match that he would have shortly after this. If anything, this is such a perfect War Games match, and the only ingredient missing is blood.
Yeah, I mean, when we get towards the end, I have a little, there was one moment where I thought, oh my god, this would have been perfect for blood, but like you said, I mean, it kind of works to its advantage. You're kind of almost waiting for it, and it doesn't happen, of course, but a lot of crazy stuff does, so it works out. But I mean, this is a fun match. This match is one, it goes by so fast. It's kind of,
it really
out.
Does for War Games. It's kind of drawn out. But before we jump fully into the War Games, I just wanted to see how you going, man. Like, what's the haps in your world at the moment?
Going pretty well. You know, it's kind of a busy time of the year with the holidays, just with work and life in general. But doing well. Been working on the Video Plant website quite a bit with any free time I have, so that's been
so excited. I was just talking to this about there's this wonderful couple that I met at the Oddities Sydney event over this past weekend.
Yeah,
because you know, as you know, I try to, you know, go to the different like local historic kind of cinemas when I'm in town, and we got talking about the Ritz Cinema in Randwick, which is one of Sydney's most beautiful historic cinemas. I had just the one of the nights prior seen a 35mm film screening of Royal Tenenbaums, which was just absolutely delightful. You know, I'm a big fan of Wes Anderson, so that was just such a good time to rewatch and re-enjoy that movie. But so I was talking to this couple, and I was like, "Oh, great! What did you guys see at the Ritz?" And they said they saw Salo. Or Salo, or how do you pronounce it?
Yeah. Salo, or 120 Days of Sodom, yeah.
Yes, and I, you know, of course, got talking to them about yourself and about the Video Plant project, and they started following the Instagram, and they were very excited for this upcoming launch of the website.
Oh, God.
But, man, I was so intrigued about, like, the idea of watching that movie in a cinema with a whole bunch of other people.
I've done it before. I've experienced that for a screening series called Bleak Week.
Oh, great.
I think it was called. And the curator, when he started before the screening, he asked the audience to raise their hands, like, who all hasn't seen this? And most of the audience raised their hand, and the person next to me was like, oh my God. That was quite the experience. I'm sure they had. Yeah, it's a weird thing to say to be associated with in terms of the movies out there. But hopefully when the website's up, you know, there will be that little nugget of why it's on the site, you know, the discussion of it. But that's really exciting that they were able to see it in person. And I'll have to check out, I'll have to Google that theater and check it out. Sounds cool.
Oh, it's a beautiful place. If you ever make it over to these parts, I'd definitely, my two favorite cinemas in the country, I'd have to say the Ritz there in Randwick, and then the Astor Theatre down in Melbourne in Windsor. Another beautiful, beautiful old cinema. But yeah, man, I uh, I just wrapped up the Oddities tour of, you know, the big one of Melbourne, Brisbane and Sydney. So it was a bit of a whirlwind, as I've been telling you otherwise. But man, I'm happy to be through it. I'm a little bit sad that it's over, to be honest, because it was such, it was a lot of work, but it was such a lovely time. But yeah, like really cool getting to meet people like that and, you know, like exchange passions and brought me back a lot to, you know, the reason why I run this podcast and that's to be able to exchange passions about this stuff, I guess about wrestling at the end of the day. But, you know, also brings me so much happiness that, you know, we can sort of like also nerd out over sort of like weird cinema as well.
Absolutely. There's kind of a weird, you know, wrestling kind of has its own kind of connection to cinema in a weird way. So yeah, it seems like the perfect kind of, it's weird. The video plant is like, it's half wrestling. There's an entire wrestling wall. So anyway, it's just fun to talk about these things. And cool that you were able to, after that kind of grind of doing all those, that you're able to leave it and kind of have a bittersweet feeling about it. That's cool.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's sort of, you end up I'm quite tired, you know, after all the travel and everything that is, and three massive weekends in a row. It's just such a great time. Now that I'm sort of like over it and all done with, get to chop it up here on the podcast, and then I've got a wrestling club event to prepare for, to tidy up that playlist.
Very cool. I mean, I'm always curious to, I always try to, you know, I'm looking at your Instagram thing and seeing, I'm always curious what you're playing on these wrestling club shows.
I mean, I try with this podcast to sort of like break it down. Like, I really like of latest being able to do those kind of like night debrief evenings, and we kind of run through everything that was played and how it sort of like vibed on the night, and the ones that you know hit, and a different kind of like in-person thing of everyone kind of like watching these matches together. And I guess that's front of mind, you know, talking about like these two matches. I mean, one of them was the one that we played at Wrestling Club, and was a really big part of that night in question. I tried to do as many promos and all that incredible stuff that led up to this incredible War Games that was. I have to say, like, looking at it all in all, including like all of the promos and the twists and turns and the great you know, Dustin reunion promo, man, this has got to be one of the most underrated you know, feuds that culminates in a War Games that there has ever been, I would say.
It's quite the interesting ensemble of people. You know, to be honest, I don't know too much about like the story building up to it. This has always been kind of a VHS tape that I wanted to own, primarily for the cover, if I'm being honest. And then when I watched it, I was like, really take it, you know, I like the Nasty Boys. I know some people don't like them, but
I used to be not a fan of this, right? So I was part of the crowd of everyone like, oh, they're just, you know, like Hogan's buddies, they suck, they know all this. And then you go back and watch some of those matches, and you know, they actually had some great stuff in WWF and like that early 90s kind of period. And then those WCW matches, like, for me, it doesn't get much better than like their matches against like the Steiners.
Yes, the Steiners, Halloween just Havoc,
beat the crap out of them. Dude, oh my gosh! But
that match is so awesome. Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say that match, the Max Payne and the Cactus Jack tag matches. Good. Those are probably the three that I'm like, I like them. And there's also, they have a good bit on one of the Coliseum Video VHS tapes where they go into a video store and tear it apart. But also like the aesthetic of like just the spackled paint kind of gear is cool.
Yeah.
And the sunglasses.
Oh, I need me one of those Nasty Dreams spackled paint, you know, shirts that Dusty is wearing in this. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes, the Nasty Dreams. I maybe you can find one online. I don't know. Or maybe you'll have to make one. I don't know.
Either way, this is, you know, this is the level where, like, you really have to put in the work, I feel, to pull that off, which I'm here for.
Yeah, well, yeah, this match, you know, I'll have to see if I can find some of the promos you were talking about. The match itself is pretty wild.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's worth you definitely going back and watching some of those, you know, TV shows in the lead up. But, I mean, I think the VHS itself does a really good job of capturing the feud, you know, to an extent. I know, like, during the thing, they have a few great backstage promos throughout the show where they're, you know, talking to, you know, the stud stable, and they you know, show the episode of WCW Saturday Night where they do the big reveal that that Colonel Robert Parker is, you know, Meng is not allowed to be in the match, and Colonel Robert Parker is going to be in the match, and he's just, oh my lord, I don't even own a pair of tights. Oh,
I should have watched this tape, because, and I should have known better, because it does say on the cover over 3 hours of wrestling action. So this thing's packed with all the things you're talking about, apparently.
Oh, the whole show is great. And then an incredible promo as well backstage with the team Nasty Dreams. And it just captures so much of the wonderful, like, how great, like, crazy off-the-wall promos that you get from this era. And then even, yeah, in the actual, you know, when they get to the match, they throw back and they show that, you know, great classic promo of Dusty and Dustin kind of coming back together as father and son, and, you know, some of those twists and turns is, and how we got to the War Games. Just so, so good.
I'll have to pop it back in. It's been a while. I do remember, I think this is the one, there's like, I think Nick Bockwinkle,
yeah,
is like the commissioner or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember that, because it was during a phase where I was watching those Nick Bockwinkle promos with Bobby Heenan. Mm-hmm. So I remember that, but yeah, I'll have to give it a rewatch. I should have watched the tape rather than just the match online, but anyway.
This works in both ways. You know, right. We get to enjoy it just, you know, in and of itself, but then, you know, also works with the context. But yeah, so this one officially took place. This was our 107th edition of the Match of the Week. It took place on September 18th of 1994. At WCW's Full Brawl War Games pay-per-view from Roanoke, Virginia. And, man, it just captured so much of the vibe of the time as well. We had Michael Buffer doing the, you know, the start of, you know, thing, ring introduction. We had Mean Gene running over the rules of the War Games. The incredible commentary duo of Tony Schiavone and Bobby Heenan. Bobby is so great. But there's so much to love about this, even outside of you know, the bell to bell action.
Yeah, there's also 94 was a pretty good run there for a little bit with the WCW pay per views too. I remember watched the Spring Stampede. Like, I think that's the. I think I'm getting that right. But yeah, there was like a little bit of a run there. I think also that there was that Flair Hogan cage match after this one. So there was like some, you know, some fun stuff in this. Yeah, actually now I can think about it. Yeah, I like some of this era. It had been a while.
Oh, I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And this pay-per-view itself was just quite good too. We had the opener of Regal and Johnny B. Bad in a very underrated match. It's so good. I think we also get that great, like, what do they call it? The triangle match? I remember
you telling me
about it. The one with Boss Man and Vader and Sting.
Yep.
It's like awesome very match. Cool. So all in all, very, very good pay-per-view here.
Yeah, indeed. And there's also a good Cactus Jack match on here, I think.
The loser leaves town of him and Kevin Sullivan, right?
Yeah, damn it. I might just pop this tape in on this weekend and just let it rip, you know?
Heck yeah.
But during the pandemic, I watched a lot of the tapes from like beginning to end. It was so fun you know, because there was so much time just to kind of to power through them. But it's been a long while. Maybe I'll do that. We'll see. If I do, I'll let you know.
Heck yeah, please. But yeah, like this match starts and oh my gosh, I think I really love how they have everyone come down together to the ring and then everyone's waiting at ringside as opposed to doing individual entrances. I think it adds so much to it. Like I really love when I rewatch this, like the cuts from the action to the reaction of the rest of the team on the outside and especially of Colonel Robert Parker.
Dude,
oh my gosh.
He's incredible. I'm a big, there's that part for me, like just before Dustin puts Arn's head between the two rings, they show that close up of Colonel Parker. He's like clenching like his napkin or his, you know, and he's just it's like really awesome camera work too. It's like it cuts from his reaction looking upward towards Dustin as he twists Arn's like head into the ring. That's probably the thing I think about when I think of this War Games is the two spots in between the two rings that are just so awesome. But yeah, he's really just like, you know, putting Arn right, you know, just pounding him through and the camera's just looking upward. It's so awesome. But yeah, that cut in between with Colonel Parker as he's like losing his mind is so comedic and but so right, you know?
Oh yeah. It was such a highlight for me when we when we showed this at the bar, you know, and we had everyone kind of there like reacting to it, and you know, same thing with some of those like promos beforehand, but especially in this match, like, you know, people would be into the match and then we would cut to like Robert Parker and there would be like an audible reaction from everyone that's sitting there of just him like, you know, having those vapors just like dabbing away all, like he has so much sweat.
Dude, I was going to say at the end, right before he goes in, you know, like the camera's behind him and you just see he's just drenched in sweat. And it's like, oh my God, this guy's like, it's so incredible. He's like trying not to go. I mean, yeah, that's later. But yeah, he's a big part of why this is so appealing and fun to watch. Yeah, it keeps coming back.
It's so campy, but it's so great.
Absolutely, yeah.
Definition of sweating bullets, I think.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah, in turn, like I was thinking about the, you know, the beginning of the match is pretty, it's like the first 5 minutes is Dustin and Arn, I feel like. And then from there, it's just kind of like, you know, one after the other. But one moment that really sticks out to me is there's a few, but the Dustin dives over those two ropes.
Oh my gosh, I was going to say, what a crazy like spot. Like of a guy that's such a big boy like Dustin, like
doing
a running dive over both.
He launches and Schiavone, you know, oh yeah, you know, Tony Schiavone is so great in this too. He's like, he jumps over the ropes, you know. but then after that, he uses the top of the cage to pull himself and kick Arn to the ropes. And
yes,
that's why I love these, like at least the early ones, like the 91 and 92 as well. You know, the top of the cage is so low and they utilize it as like a way of force.
Nothing I love better than when them like bumping the guy's head against like the roof of the cage.
So absolutely. Great. Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was rad. And then, I remember like shortly after, Sags enters, he slams Bunkhouse against the cage. You remember that?
Gosh,
and he like
yes.
falls in between the ropes. And that got a pretty good like crowd reaction. There's some of those moments there's like that.
That I need to like give his flowers to, and I like to think I do with every one of our wrestling clubs, who really has, you know, he's just gone up and up in esteem in my opinion, is Bunkhouse Buck. Just so great. Very reminiscent of like a Terry Funk in terms of those great, crazy, wily cells and, you know, him getting all like tangled up in the ropes and just this real slapstick kind of thing, but just being such a solid worker as well. Great punches, like everything
Absolutely.
about uh, bunkhouse. I just adore.
Yeah, he really shines in this match. Like, yeah, the comedy, it works though. Everything works in this. Like, you know, it's not so much like the previous. It's not so much a violent match as it is like an action packed one. If that makes, you know. But yeah, I also like that there's just, you know, there's just like four guys, right?
Yeah,
just four of them, and so it really kind of evens it out. It's not too cluttered, which works to the flow. It works to the flow of the match in a way that I really like.
Yeah, for sure. I think it really does a great job, you know, of sort of like the action. So you get your first, what was it, like 5 minutes for the first two, but then we've got 2 minutes, you know, intervals thereafter when the guys are coming in. And I think it's great to, like, keep that action moving. You know, it's enough time for the new guy to come in and really, you know, make his presence known kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm always such a sucker for, like, of course the bad guy team has to win the advantage on that, you know, coin flip, like. This match so does not work if the good guys ever have the advantage.
No, of course not. And then there's that point too where like he flips the coin and the ref almost loses it.
Yeah, he drops
like,
it.
He drops it. Even that like little moments like that, so good. I gotta say, go ahead.
I really thought about that coin bit right when I rewatched this, and I was like, was you know, Colonel Robert Parker meant to sort of like slap his hand or something to make him, you know, drop the coin, and then Colonel Robert Parker maybe picks it up, and then, you know, obviously he gets the sneaky thing of being able to cheat on the coin toss. Because at this point, I don't know how many war games we've had where every single time the bad guys happen to win. So I was like, was that something they put in there that maybe in reality, like, did not actually, you know, come across quite as well in practice? But you know, maybe just a little something in there to maybe, you know, make it a little bit more plausible that dastardly Colonel Robert Parker has cheated on the coin toss. I don't know.
He's so good. I'm trying to think of I don't know. He's kind of like, you ever see the movie Clue?
I've not.
Oh, it's a good campy 1980s movie, but kind of reminds me of a character that would be in like this ensemble cast who's just kind of serving this comedic outrageous performance. But yeah, major props to him. I also gotta say, like, the intro to Funk going into the match, also, you know, he is obviously, he's the greatest, but you know, it cuts to him trying to throw a chair into the ring. And it just bounces off the top of the cage. Like, so it's amazing. It's just like, he's just this wild madman. And then he like flies in the ring with his boot and just flops over the rope in between the rings instantly. And it's like, it's so comical, but again, in the best way, the best way.
It's great crowd pop. Even like, yes, like Tony old commentary is like, he's even willing to hurt himself. Like that.
It's perfect. Yeah. So yeah. Oh God. Yeah. And then there's also I'm probably jumping ahead, but another moment that really sticks out to me is when Funk's bashing Dustin's head into the cage, and Shivani's like right in front of his father. and Shivani's really trying to like, he says it, he's like, oh, and it's right in front of his father. And like, yeah. Dusty's just looking at Dustin's head get bashed in front of him. So
just like not
awesome.
Selling it whatsoever.
Yeah, that's another just hilarious moment. And again, this is like, at this point, we're just like flying through the match.
Another bit in there where like in this, I think the dichotomy of like the father and son of, you know, Dustin and Dusty is such a big part of this match, but it's like so humorous in various points where, you know, because before this, we got this great heartfelt promo of Dustin saying how he basically, I mean, Dusty telling Dustin he failed him as a father and everything, and he's back now, you know, he needs him to forgive him, and he gives him a hug and everything. A beautiful moment. I cry every time I watch that promo.
Oh, my God.
But the in this match, it's so great that it, like, almost like they've completely gone back, and Dusty just has this, like, hard kind of, like, thing, expectations of his son in it. Like, there's a point when, yeah, Dustin's getting his ass kicked by, like, three men, and, like, I think Bobby even says something about it. He's like, "This is your fault, Dusty. You put yourself in here." And Dusty's just yelling out, just like, "Be tough. Be tough, Dustin."
Oh, my God. I don't know when, but soon I will watch the tape where I can see all this. I tried doing a quick search online, because I, on your post, you mentioned the backstory, and I don't remember a lot of that from the watch from a few years ago. So I'll watch it. I got to see this, especially if it made you cry.
Absolutely. I think when people talk about the greatest Dusty promos of all time, and there are some absolutely wonderful ones, I don't think you can top that one of him, you know, reuniting with his son. And it's one of those ones that just sort of, like, goes past professional wrestling. It's sort of just, yeah, just such a wonderful thing. But then, yeah, just the contrast from that to this match where Dustin,
yeah, dude,
seems like he could give a shit about his son in so many ways.
I love when it transcends and it, like, something makes me emotional, you know, like,
yeah,
what else? Yeah, so good. So I'll give it a watch, and then I'll message you my thoughts.
Please do. But yeah, Terry in this match with the cowboy boot, and just, it's ridiculous shit. I think my favorite part officially on this match, at least on my rewatch of it this time around, was the, so I think this is after the bit where the other team, you know, sort of turns it around, but then eventually they get the boot, and then Terry is getting his comeuppance with this boot, and my gosh, he sells this so well. Like, Dustin has got the boot and he's just bludgeoning Terry with it, and he takes a few blows with it, and then he finally, like, is staggering for the last one, just waiting for it. Dustin hits him with it, and he just does a full, like, loop-de-loop, spin around, like, just complete cartoon sell, and it is, like, the best thing I've ever seen.
That's the thing. Anytime Terry Funk is in a match, just watching him alone, his antics, it's like, kind of reminds me of, like, he's like a Buster Keaton. I don't know if you've ever seen his stuff, but his physical, the way he moves, like, I don't know, he's just so unique in the way that his like over the top movements, you know, it just works. It's mesmerizing.
And especially like the way that he's able to contrast that with, like, going from this crazy, ridiculous slapstickness to, like, to just go into straight, like, serious violence and uncomfortable violence all of the time is just such the magic of Terry Funk.
Absolutely. With this match in particular, I love that right before he's going in the cage, he already has that boot in his hand. He's taking it off.
And he's sort of trying to hide it from the referee, right?
It's, and then he goes, and you're like, what? And then you see him, and you're like, okay, yeah, he's got a one boot on and a sock on the other foot. Like, that's his boot, and he's going to use his weapon. So good. I will say, since we're speaking about Funk, the other moment that comes to mind when I think of this match is when Knobs pile drives Funk in between the rings.
Oh, yes.
He kind of botches it, and he just falls right in between. It's so awesome. It just, it's so good. It's like, I don't know if that was, if things went according to plan, but it did for me, just visually. And he just, like, crawls out the center of the ring. So good.
The way he, like, comes back up out is almost, like, reminiscent of Jim Carrey coming out of the back of, like, the rhino.
The rhino, the ass, yeah. Oh, my God.
And he comes up, and he's like, on rewatch, I really noticed this. He's holding this weird, I don't know whether it's something that, like, holds the pyro or something. It's just, like,
yeah,
a piece of metal. And he just kind of, like, punches, like, Knobs or Sags, like, in the crotch mm-hmm. with it. Just this tiny little moment that you wouldn't even notice unless you really pay close attention to it. It's so great.
I love it. He was down there. He's like, I'll use this. I'll use this thing. So good.
Yes, I really, really loved as well the moment when like when you're watching it, like when he's again with the boot, I think flashing back a couple moments, and I can't remember, he might be working over Dustin in the ropes, and then he like gets up on top of the top rope to hit him from like a higher angle or something, and you're like, what are you doing, Terry? Like, what are you doing here? And then, of course, the tides get turned on him and he gets crotched on that top rope.
Oh, yes.
And that was, of course, the moment that I chose for the illustration in question. And just then him, like, bouncing him up and down on that top rope and selling it, and Terry selling it like only Terry could.
Oh, right. My gosh. You've seen it before, but it's awesome. Yeah. It's, yeah. So good. That's interesting. Yeah. I think about that sometimes when I look at your illustrations. I'm like, oh, like he chose this moment, and I'm always curious why. And it sounds like you have by the end of a match, you have like quite a few moments to really decide upon.
It can be really hard sometimes because in a lot of ways for this one, I probably otherwise, like I said before, I really, really love that bit where he finally like hits him with the boot and he has this tremendous spinning cell. But it's just one of those ones where I couldn't really get to work as well, like visually to capture sort of like, you know, everything that was going on. And especially these old sort of like footage, it can be quite hard to get like a frame that gives you sort of a good reference image to kind of work from. More lately, I kind of like generally sometimes combine a little bit of like a couple of stills of, you know, a few seconds apart to you know, get the best of each one for reference purposes. But I ended up going with the bit where he's crutched on a top rope because it's just so inherently Terry. And also, yeah, the lead up to it where you're just like, what are you doing on the top rope, Terry? Like, it's just so ridiculous. But the payoff is so, so good.
He's a madman. It's so awesome. You know, I was talking about earlier, I was with when I was thinking about Colonel Parker, when he enters the cage, you know, we see his back, he's he's drenched in sweat from his nervousness, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, as I was rewatching it, you know, of course, I knew there was no blood, but I was thinking, God, you know, he's all in white. It would have been, you know, if there was going to be somebody who was just going to gush blood, it would have been so incredible had he gone in there and just, you know, just started bleeding all over that sweaty white suit he was wearing. But, you know, it's awesome. I'm not hating on it by any means, but it's just, you know, those moments you're like, oh, wow. You know, if I was watching that match today, I'd be like, oh, he's going to be covered in blood, he's wearing all white.
Yeah, it's like a what could have been for sure.
It's just, absolutely,
there's something I'm always a sucker for of that, you know, going back to that incredible Santito versus LA Park Monterey blood.
Oh god,
where Park's just in the complete white, and yeah, man, always a sucker for that.
Love that.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Also, like you know, with this match, kind of like, you know, it's I wouldn't say it's shorter. It's a short match by any means, but it does get in and out. It's like when they finally get to that finish with the figure fours. Is that right?
Yeah. Which is like, looking back, it was such a great finish. You know, it's like Cody Parker finally gets in the ring. He does not want to be there. Proceeds to very quickly. As soon as Dusty is in, like, I mean, he has the great bit where he like tries to punch him, and then he like, you know, even acts like he like hurt his own hand by attempting to punch him.
Which yes,
so
love
great.
That, love that, and he does get some good belt whips in there near the end. I will say he gets some good moments. Yeah, that punch is awesome, but the end
they
is
did neat. It really plausible with the idea that, you know, in reality, Robert Parker was a tremendous professional wrestler for many, many years. You know, part of the Welch family and so much history in that sort of like Alabama territory, I guess. But in WCW context, he is not a wrestler. He is just a rich, I don't know if he's like an oil tycoon or what he is, but he's just a rich fellow who is in here, and he's not a wrestler. And then, you know, within the context of it, I think they do a great job of, you know, like making his offense kind of like plausible in that way. Totally. And then, you know, it really doesn't take much for, as soon as Dusty comes in, it all comes crashing down so fast. And then
course, it does,
you know, Dusty gets him in the figure four. Nasty Boys are just dropping elbows on him. Yep. Of course he would give up at that point, you know?
Absolutely. I thought it was great. It was so fun to rewatch. Like I said, I don't think I had seen it since the pandemic, and I didn't remember a lot of that stuff. So, a lot of fun. I'm glad I got to watch it with the intention of talking about it. Cause and also like another thing too, it's such a colorful match. It's got that, you know, mid-90s colorful energy. It's lit pretty bright in that era. Just really works to the advantage of what the match is without the blood.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think this has got to be, you know, hands down one of my favorite War Games matches. I mean, I think my all-time favorite is still that first one, you know, with the Four Horsemen against Dusty and Nikita and the Road Warriors. Like just such a, you know, perfect encapsulation for what the War Games is meant to be. But you know, I also have a lot of love for like the Sting Squadron Dangerous Alliance one, which is another like really, really great one on rewatch. But this is so up there. Like, I think this has got to be either 2 or 3 for me, and I think it maybe, you know, probably changes depending on the day.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, the Match Beyond, the first one, also has an incredible cover, VHS cover. Oh, and I think this tape is kind of almost paying like homage to that cover. But that one is awesome. I also really like, my favorite might be, I don't know, is the 91, the one with Pillman where he just gets obliterated.
Oh, yeah, with Sid Vicious. Right?
Yes, with Vicious, yeah. And Flair's got like... a really short haircut just before he's on his way out of WCW. But,
is that the one with Dr. Death in it as well?
Um,
St- Steve Williams. I want to say, like, I remember there's a great bit where I want to say Steve, who's that, got him up in the military press, and he's just like banging to the top of the roof.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. I actually don't know for sure. Is it Larry's? What's his name? Larry.
Larry Zbysko.
Zbysko, I think, is in that one. Now I can't remember, but I love it. And then the giant comes in at the end. Is that right? Or
that's probably a bit early for the giant. But
I don't know what's his name. Not the giant, but oh gosh, I'm getting all mixed up. I need to rewatch it. But yeah, yes, I do love the '91 one as well. But yeah, the Dangerous Alliance, or yeah, is it the Dangerous Alliance? Is that what it was?
With Paul, dangerously led incredible super heel faction. One of the greatest factions of all time, I would say.
Even had like Medusa climbs the top at that one. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that 91-92 like double feature. When AEW did the first Blood and Guts, I went back and rewatched the 87, 91, and 92. And I might have to do that again now that we're talking War Games. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll be intrigued to see on fresh rewatch for yourself which one ahead.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, that's so great. And then we go to something completely different for our second match of our double feature here today. We go to match of the week number 108. We're in Mexico. We're in Lucha Memes. We're in Arena or Coliseo Huacalco. A tremendous, gritty, hardcore, independent lucha show vibe. Semi outdoors. We've got a tin roof. We've got bush plants in the background. We've got a dirt floor. This has got to be one of my favorite wrestling venues of all time. This is like kind of like when I used to play Street Fighter as a kid, and used to have like different kind of like levels with the different backgrounds. This is like such a perfect background for just an absolute pure Yaveo showcase. A clinic of a match, SOS Lucha. This one took place on July 28th, 2024, for Lucha Memes between Rey Jacero and Jelwa. And my gosh, this thing, I only originally watched it thanks to Lucha Memes actually sharing it on their Twitter because they had a fundraiser going where they were trying to get a new ring. It was sort of like I watched it at that point, and then, their rivalry has now like gone on further from that. But in a lot of ways, this was kind of the start of it. So I was very grateful for Lucha Memes for sharing that one, and everyone can check that one out for themselves. But man, I enjoyed the heck out of this in a totally different way.
Yeah. Well, I'm grateful for you, illustrating this, 'cause I hadn't seen it. This wasn't on my radar, and Hechicero in 2024 was on a tear.
Yes.
I had a ton of fun. I think he was like, I have a list of my favorite matches every year I do, and he had so many on there, and it was really exciting to just see another match from 2024, because this match was awesome. There's something to be said about these intimate matches with like no commentary and handheld cameras just outside the ring. And
such a vocal, small crowd too.
Oh my god, the crowd was awesome. Yeah. Like I say, the environment, the energy, it was so. So have you been there?
This is one of my great regrets that I wasn't able to make it to this one on my trip to Mexico earlier in the year. But whenever I make it back to Mexico, I'm going to make a point to go here because it just seems like such a cool environment to watch wrestling and especially to watch lucha.
Dude, absolutely. I mean, I was I get really kind of intoxicated by the invite, like certain elements of matches, like where they take place, and this one, like even the green mat, it's kind of like didn't perfectly, I guess, mold or fit the ring, but it added so much to the match for me. I did go to the fundraiser site, which is so cool, and I saw like the new ring, and I know that they're still taking donations, which is awesome.
Yes.
And it looked so, even like those photos, like seeing photos of it. Yeah, that tin roof and those like tarps. It just, it's like, God, I would love to see, to be in that crowd for that match. Cause when it starts, it's not super loud, but immediately when it does start, you know, the horns are going and the crowd's really engaged with all the back and forth exchanges. And just, it, again, kind of an intoxicating match. You just kind of get sucked in.
It's so much so vibes, good. Right? Like, I mean, outside of it being an awesome, awesome match, like, there's so much just sort of, like, surrounding it atmospherically that I think really just is so, so much to love and so charming.
Totally. You know, it's funny. I watched this. I got up really early this morning, and I watched this match this morning before work, and when I was done with work, I was like, oh man, I'm gonna watch that match again. You know, it's one of those matches, it's like I said, kind of intoxicating. It sucks you in. Yeah. And so I was excited to go back, and it kind of took me by surprise. That's what I love whenever I would do these shows, because like, you'll throw a match my way I haven't seen. And often I'm like, oh yeah, like, where was it? The astronauts match we talked about.
Yeah.
That was also a really cool environment. So yeah, the vibes of it were so awesome. And I think it really helped shine this style of match. How would you describe, you had a word to describe this style of match. What was it?
Like probably Yave. Yeah. That sort of real classic sort of like reactive lucha submission based kind of like wrestling.
I love it. It's so good. And Hechicero is so much fun to watch. He is so he's so athletic for his build. He reminds me of this might seem like a weird thing to say, but there's the NBA. I grew up watching Charles Barkley, the NBA player, play. Yep. He kind of, he's like the Charles Barkley of pro wrestling, which is a huge compliment, by the way. He's just super athletic and super, he can do it all. I'm a big fan of him. Also, there's kind of like a master and an apprentice kind of vibe with this match.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, I think that's a massive part of the story here, because we've got Hechicero, who, like, from the entrance on, he is reacted to, you know, by this crowd as the returning hero. So a bit of backstory on Hechicero. You know, he kind of was like the king of the hardcores for a long time. He was, you know, doing a lot of stuff with Lucha Memes, like, back in the day, and different independent kind of groups as being this sort of, like, technical wizard. And he wasn't getting much in CMLL. And then over time, eventually, it was almost like a bit of a Bryan Danielson kind of like story where the company finally did get behind him. A big part of that seemed to be through COVID, funnily enough, where, you know, they had a bunch of guys like leave. I think that was when, like, you know, just before that was when like Roosh and Dragon Lee and like a bunch of guys left. So it left a opening that so Hechicero was finally able to kind of like get to that level that he really deserved for so long. And it was sort of like such an organic thing of, I think that's a big reason why, you know, the crowd reacts to him so, so great, you know, in CMLL these days. But so him coming back to Lucha Memes is, you know, a big part of it. I think he's been a familiar face, you know, every now and then, but it's not like he's on every show with, especially with his crazy schedule that he has now with AEW. Oh my God. But then we have, Jelwa, who is just such a mind-blowingly great wrestler to me, for a guy who, in this match, he's 20 years old, which is just nuts, especially for this style. Like, this is such a style that requires, like, a lifetime to master kind of thing. Because it's not just, like, being able to put together a series of spots and you practiced out your spots and you got it. Like, it's reactive. And I think he does so great in it. And it's, definitely sort of like the master versus the apprentice. There's even like a few times throughout the match where he kind of like stumbles or doesn't get something like quite right. And it kind of like adds to it for me because it adds to that kind of like story. Like, oh, of course, he's like this 20-year-old kid who's like wrestling like the best in the world. Like, of course he's going to have moments where he's like, you know, the pressure gets to him or whatever. But overall, I just thought this was so, so wonderful in so many ways.
That's a really good way to put it. Yeah, it's very, there are those raw moments, but it adds to the character of what's going on between them. Totally. There's so much creativity going on too with their counters, and there's like an artistic gracefulness to it that I really, that's probably why I was so eager to watch it again. You know, there's just, there's a lot of, I don't know if like creativity is the word, but yeah, they're just, they're kind of like, you know, they're gelling together.
I would say definitely creativity, man. Like, I think you're right there 100%. It's like such a creative match in sort of like, I always think of this style of wrestling sort of similar to kind of like proper like jazz, where it's sort of like, you know,
yes,
a little bit of this, so then you react and you do a bit of that. And it just feels so much more organic than a lot of the wrestling that you might watch otherwise.
Yeah, I love that. They're kind of dancing. They're going back and forth. There's like those, they even were exchanging the, what is it? Like the, is it the La Tapatia? Is that?
Like the Romero special kind of thing.
Yeah, Romero. Yeah. They're like exchanging those, which was cool. Yes.
That was when the crowd really seemed like they first got into it. That was when we got, I think, the first like Esto es Lucha chant, which is like, you know, this is Lucha. So good. And yeah, it just seemed like the crowd was then like properly invested. And like the dueling chants and everything from that point forward, like so cool.
So yeah, the crowd was awesome. Totally responded. I loved also that I think midway through, maybe they were like doing those gnarly chops throughout.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, there's point where they're both on their knees chopping each other. That was pretty cool. You know, Hedges just removes his straps. I remember. Just some little moments like that I really enjoyed. And I also just thought, like, the last 5 minutes in particular, you know, the build of that was so awesome. There's that moment where Hechicero grabs Shelwa by the eye holes of his mask.
Yes.
He just picks him right up. So awesome. It's moments like that where you're kind of like, okay, he's the master. You know what I mean? Like, and Shelwa's the, you know, the, I don't know if the apprentice is the right word, but, you know, like, like you said, he's younger and he's not at this level, but he's there's a level of respect, I think, even though he's just grabbing him from his eye holes.
Yeah. I mean, like, you wouldn't expect to see that the other way around in this match, right? That'd be a completely different dynamic.
And I gotta say, I've seen it before, but that like guillotine move where the Tija Ross, is that how you say it?
Yeah, you had the
Tejeras. It looked so wicked with his head hitting that green mat.
Oh my gosh. He hit him. It
so
felt like
awesome.
He landed so heavy with that. That was a vicious one.
Oh, it was vicious. It was so awesome. I mean, it looked brutal, but, you know, I love that. It was so awesome. But I was just a big fan. It was a lot of fun to watch a second time. I mean, I'm kind of like, you know, I wish it had happened selfishly in my own kind of weird list making thing. I'm like, oh, I wish it happened this year. I put it on my list of, at the end of the year, every, like around December, when there's like a break from work, I like to rewatch my favorite matches from the year. It's kind of like a ritual at this point, but you know what? I'll have to add it on to my 2024 list, because it really was a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, dude, I love that you do that. I mean, they have had, they resumed the rivalry in 2025. So I think they had a match in the UK, I believe, for Rev Pro. And they may have had another match in Mexico other than that. So
I'll have to watch
some 2025 stuff to
track
down. Because I haven't even watched those matches yet, but I'd be very intrigued to give it a watch.
Good point. Because when you mentioned it to me, I was like, oh, and I did a quick search and like, oh, okay, yeah, 2025. And then I went back to your post and it had the date on there. And I was like, oh, this is before I had the link to the match. And so, I guess I was aware that there were other matches, but had forgotten about that in the last day or so. So I'll watch those. I'll watch those, at least one of them, to kind of see how this story continues.
Yeah, yeah, man. I'm so intrigued to follow, like, the evolution of it as, you know, Shelwell gets, like, more experience. And especially, like, I'm not sure if you saw it, but I really, really loved that from that same pay-per-view, the ROH one that had the great Hechicero Bandido match, the pure title match
yes.
that they had with Jelwa and Lee Moriarty.
That was great.
Was absolutely You're... fantastic, and both yes. guys looked so great in it.
I think that's the only other time that's the only other match I really remember of his. But yeah, that match was awesome. That was a great pay-per-view.
He seemed to be even a bit more refined at that point than he was here, you know, funnily enough. So you sort of see that development before your eyes. And I think that's something really cool
wow.
when you get to, like, watch these sort of, like, younger wrestlers and watch them get more experience and, you know, work with different guys. And, you know, I reckon it feels like at this stage, CMLL is sort of, like, ready to maybe go to that next level a bit more with Jowa. Like, it seems like, so he was... Have you seen the lineups for the Gran Alternativa tournament yet?
I haven't.
So that's coming up in the next little bit. And there were two, so I think, like, Barboza is in a one mm-hmm. of the teams, but, you know, he's obviously, like, you know, getting to be a pretty big pushed star now, you know, anyway, with the, you know, Galeon Fantasma team. The other one that I thought was super interesting that stood out to me was Jelwa. So I wouldn't be surprised if he might be taking it all away and, you know, that being wow. a big leaping off point for him. We'll have to see how we go, but that that tournament does look very interesting.
Yeah, they've got some future stars on that roster. Like he's 21, you said?
I think he might be 21 now. Yeah, when 21? This match took place, he was 20, which is wow. just insane.
And, like, it's been fun to watch Dorada. He's, like, 23.
Oh, gosh.
Just, I'm a big fan of him. And now, yeah, so, yeah, CMLL is so fun. I love putting it on Fridays, and if I can, you know, was it Tuesdays? Tonight, actually. I think today, right now.
Yeah. They got the Arena Mexico Tuesday shows that they do. I believe it's Tuesdays, Fridays, and Sundays, I believe.
Sundays, that's right, yeah.
But I'm not sure if they air the Sunday night ones all the time. It's more of a special kind of thing.
I'm such a streaky viewer on certain things. Like, I go through, like, little, you know, phases of I'm, like, super tuned in, and then I have to tune out just due to, like, life and work and all that stuff. Oh, but
I'm the same, dude.
You know what I mean? Like, there's, like, yeah. rhythms to it, or, like, I'll hear a match is awesome, then I'll watch the show. And so, yeah, I'm gonna have some time off here coming up, so I'm really excited to kind of dive back into it. This I'm definitely gonna stay tuned and give this is it Jelwa? Is that
yeah,
how you say it?
Yeah, okay. I believe so.
Cool. Oh, by the way, before I forget, I got my 2026 calendar.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for supporting and ordering
dude,
it, man.
It's so awesome. They're like these, like, luchadors and aliens. Yeah. I had wanted to get one the last couple of years. My wife always gets, you know, she always, like, our friends own a, like, an art store, and she'd always get the calendars, and they actually, like, close that store. And so I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna get, they were ready to, like, be done with like owning a store, kind of,
okay,
you know, working like, you know, all the time basically. So it's all good, but I took advantage of it and leaped to get this calendar. I'm so happy to have it. So yeah, dude, thanks for getting over here.
Oh, thanks, man. I have a lot of fun doing those calendars. It's honestly, like, it's a nice way to sort of, like, you know, get the most out of sort of the art show that I do earlier in the year. So
yeah.
All of that kind of, like, Los Luchadores versus Aliens was all that kind of, like, concept art show from earlier in the year at the Scratch. So I, you know, create all that kind of like new work that I try to, you know, in my mind, it's sort of like, it's like, you know, kind of B grade spaghetti Western sci-fi movie of my dreams. But yeah, cool. It's like cool to then be able to, you know, put that in calendar form, and then for the idea that, you know, people can then have it on their wall for all of next year, and then month by month kind of like go through and get to soak up these different you know, artworks and illustrations. Like, I get a big kick out of it.
It's awesome. You got the International Beer Day here. Santa's birthday. You put my birthday in here. Thank you so much for that note. That was awesome.
Dude, no worries.
My wife was like, oh my God, that's so nice. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, dude, I love it. Happy to finally get one. How many years have you been doing the calendar?
I believe this is the third one I've done. So right. Yeah, I've sort of started that tradition of, you know, taking the show that I did that year and then putting it out in calendar form. So yeah, I'm just trying to work out when I'll be looking to do my solo show of next year, and you know, deciding on the concept and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see how we're looking for 2027 for the calendar, I guess.
It's so crazy to think that it's going to be 2027, in a year from now, of course. But yeah, it's the wild thing to think about.
Yeah, it's definitely, we're getting to those years of, you know, the dystopian future 80s sci-fi movie, you know, version of, in a lot of ways, you could, you know, everything that's happening in the world right now, you could be oh yeah, this is a dystopian future.
Dude, I think of RoboCop, because one of the best sci-fi movies of all time, because, you know, you absolutely, when you look at sci-fi movies, are often like...
I was just raving about that movie to my friend Josh the other day when I caught up with him in Sydney. Literally, I was raving to him about how great that first RoboCop movie is.
So good.
And how ridiculously violent it is as well.
Oh, dude, so violent. And also, like, you know, like the commercials and the news casts throughout, like, we're living in that now, you know. I mean, it's like, it's grim, but it's so fun. You know, it's a funny movie too. So awesome. But yeah, I mean, it feels like today, which is pretty crazy. Yeah,
it's like it comes up on you slowly, so I guess you don't notice the ridiculous times that we're living in. But I mean, outside of like the AI stuff and robotic weapons and drones and like robots killing people, like we're living in RoboCop right now.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, pretty wild. Because, like, you know, I was like, you think of sci-fi movies and they're often so polished and pristine, and they don't have like, but the stench of the previous years. RoboCop has that, you know what I mean? Like, it's got the vehicle. It doesn't, even like in the 80s, it felt kind of like the 80s. If you watch it in the 90s, it feels like the 90s. And now there's just some kind of like, I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I think we're living in RoboCop times.
I think you're right. Absolutely. I mean, I think it's time for a rewatch of RoboCop to bring some fun to it.
There might be a RoboCop posting on the website. You might have some of those fun commercials from that movie on the site. So we will see.
Oh my gosh, everyone stay tuned on that. I'll definitely be dropping all developments for the launch of the Video Plant website for you guys as soon as I know. So yeah man, watching with a bated breath for that.
Yep, doing my best to just power through it. Every day is a little victory when I can get to it. I hadn't been able to work on it for a little bit there, but yep, it's coming in 2026. So not 2027, 2026. but yeah, dude, it's so fun to talk these matches with you.
Dude, thank you.
Awesome matches.
You know, obviously I have a lot of fun like getting a nerd out about it and
yeah, dude,
chop it up and. Yeah, especially a match like both of these, very, very vastly different, but both kind of like embracing, like for me, kind of like what makes the art of professional wrestling. in their own kind of like beautiful ways.
Love it. Absolutely. I am excited to watch this Fall Brawl 94 tape. I'm excited to see these moments you've told me about with fresh eyes, with an understanding of how it relates to the match. So thanks for gearing me up for that.
Oh, dude, no worries. And while you're at it, I'd highly recommend that amazing Clash of the Champions match that we have. That's also a part of the lead up of this match with Terry Funk and Bunkhouse Buck teaming up against Dusty Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes. That was the one that I played on our Father's Day edition of Wrestling Club.
Awesome.
Father and son teaming up together, and of course preceded by that beautiful promo that I was telling you about, that I'd like to think maybe brought some tears to the everyone watching.
Oh my god!
Wrestling Club at the bar that night.
I love that. I haven't seen that match either, so I'm gonna watch it. I'll message you when I have watched it. Whether or not it's this weekend, we will see. But
no rush,
it will happen.
Man. Just enjoy it, even if you want to.
Thank you.
You know, take it slow and watch it a little, you know, bit by bit.
Yeah.
As you get to the lead up, it's one that really, like, the whole feud, I'd say, rewards like you giving it like the time and trying to watch every little bit that builds up to it as you possibly can. I remember going just through every bit of like WCW Pro, WCW Saturday Night. I think there was like another WCW weekly show that they had at that time as well that I was like going through to see, is there any like promos or anything on these that in any way lead up to this, and just going through it all with a fine tooth comb. But it's just been such a rewarding process.
I love that. I love, like, when I was doing the, building the whole storyline of Sting and Vader for the White Castle of Fear, I went back and watched all the Saturday Night episodes, you know, to kind of like from the beginning for that feud. That's, you know, for that specific, because you know they had a few, but it's so good. I love the colors and the vibe of the Saturday Night, you know, stage tapings. So cool.
Oh, that like neon, WCW Saturday Night sign, the center stage venue, so many vibes. They had like the intro music that felt like it was like Late Night with David Letterman, but like WCW Saturday Night. So great.
So good. It's funny. I think I've told you this before, but when I was a kid, when you're a little kid, I it was like WWF, Ultimate Warrior, you know, I was like, and I went to spend it at a friend's house and he was like a WCW household, Sting and like Ric Flair, you know? And I was like,
heck yeah.
I was kind of like, what is this? Like, because I think like WCW was on cable. It was on Turner Networks. Mm. Whereas like WWF, like Superstars would be on NBC. Anyhow.
They used to play WCW over here on Turner Classic Movies Channel, funnily enough. Oh. So I'd be watching like Casablanca, and then we like cut to like WCW Nitro.
Incredible. Well, I wish I had enjoyed it back then. I wish I had a different attitude, but I was a kid. I have these faint memories of that set though. You know, like that kind of like, you know, like studio. I didn't know at the time, but you know, that kind of like filmed on a studio lot. You know, so really, really cool. We can go back and watch that. I think hopefully they keep adding more of it on YouTube. So
I mean, they've got that WCW account on there now. They seem to be adding more and more stuff on. You can for people at home, you can check out the entire Fall Brawl pay-per-view. They actually put it on that WCW YouTube, I believe, the whole show.
Oh, really?
To finish. Yeah, so you can actually check that out. They've got it in quite high resolution, which is always kind of weird, like to see it in higher quality than remembering those sort of like somewhat blurry videotapes that bring their own kind of like lovely nostalgia to it. But it is kind of cool to see it like in that crisp manner. The only negative is compared to the tapes, like you get a lot of the entrances kind of like the music dubbed over, unfortunately. But you know, I mean, it's good just in terms of that it's available.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and they actually also have just the match on there too.
Yeah.
That's what I watched. So, damn it, I probably watched some of the stuff you were talking about, but
that's all right. Probably my fault for not giving you a heads up.
No, it's all good. But yeah, I say one last thing on that. Like, that is one thing that is really cool about having the VHS tapes is you can watch some of these pay-per-views with, like, you know, Terry Funk's, you know, original music or whatever, you know, like the actual, but then you go back and watch the you know, the HD version and you're like, what is this? This is a different song. Like the, if you watch those Mid-South episodes, there's the music's totally different than like a lot of the VHS rips. But
I mean, but yeah, I'm so sad whenever we miss out on for the Midnight Express, we don't get like the Giorgio Moroder, yep. Incredible score to the movie, The Midnight Express, right?
I don't know where it's from. Is that what it is? Is that what it's from? I don't know.
I believe so. Actually, I vaguely remember there was like this movie where it's like sort of The Simpsons has like a send up of it. One of their episodes where Homer's trying to like smuggle Twinkies like into a country and then like all the they like arrest him like out of the plane. That's sort of like a send up of this movie. And then the guy has this really long drawn out awful time in this European prison. But yeah, I think that's the score of that movie, which very much does not match quite the pumped up energy of the song.
Sure, I've actually never seen this movie. I've seen the box. It's kind of I remember seeing this cover, but yeah, I've never seen this. But
possibly worth a rewatch. I have weird fond memories for it. I'd be keen to give it another watch.
Yeah. Well, also the the Junkyard Dog JYD like hit they had was it the Queen intro?
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Theme music.
You watch the old videos and you're like, oh, it's so cool. It works so perfectly. And then you know you watch like a modern, you know, updated take that they've uploaded, and you know, they have a different song.
With that World Class, you know, you watch like the OG stuff with like Kerry coming out to like Tom Sawyer by Rush and like, you know, the Von Erichs coming out to like LaGrange. Like, it's just, you can imagine like being those like early 20s like kids in the sportatorium just losing your shit. And then they just dub over it with the most lame music and you're just like, tears my heart out.
It's cheap, like, you know, licensable, like in perpetuity music. Yeah. I will say though, I love the Savage Steamboat WrestleMania 3 match. I love the, like there's that promo where, you know, Savage is like, I am the Lord and Master of the Ring. And then there's his entrance and then they have Steamboat and they have his music overdubbed, but I actually kind of like the music that they chose for him. So I'm kind of like, it's weird. I'm like, I like this. Anyhow, yeah. So, you know, I guess we're fortunate. We get to see this stuff. It's widely available. It's easier to find, but we can also nitpick it because we're super fans, I guess. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, if you dig hard enough, you can still find, you know, on some, you know, old Daily Motion account or, you know, archive.org or whatever it might be, in a lot of the older, like, VHS rips. So, you know, that's what I like to do for the wrestling club. I'll, like, source this old grainy version to make sure we get the proper entrances and then, you know, cut to the better quality for the match wherever I can.
It's, I like, there's those subscriptions, too. You can, those wrestling subscriptions, you know what I'm talking about, where you can like see all the footage and stuff, and yeah, really cool. I'm always, it's so weird, I'm always sifting and trying to find the shittiest version of something I can, the purest form that I can. I don't know what that means, but yeah, it brings me a lot of joy.
You and me both, dude. Well, thank you so much. This has been amazing. I had the best time talking about these two matches with you, dude.
It's him.
And yeah, like I said, I'll keep everyone posted on the updates for the Video Plant website. In the meantime, I'm sure if people follow video.plant on Instagram. I got that handle right, didn't I?
Yeah.
We'll probably get some updates on there when things are good to go too.
Yep. In 2026, it's going to happen.
Awesome.
Promise.
Love it.
Dude, thank you so much for having me on and sharing these matches with me and everybody else. And looking forward to doing it again.
Dude, thank you. I'd love to have you on. Like I've said in the past, either whenever I have a match coming up that we're scheduled to talk about on the podcast, and it just shouts out to me that this is a Richard kind of match, like we had these two today, or vice versa. You know, if we come up to one that you're like, oh, I have a special connection to this one, I got to talk about it.
I mean,
always, please let me know.
I mean, I don't know if anybody's claimed it yet, but that Blue Panther, he held Del Santo match, you know.
Oh my gosh, I mean, it was your recommendation, dude. I mean, so of course.
Okay, that would be a fun one, because that, yeah, I'll save my thoughts for if I'm a contender for that one, but
I think you will be. I mean, I got some catching up to do before we get quite to there. We've only just done match of the week 108, and I believe that was 113, so
we'll oh, okay, we'll good. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, man. Well, thanks again. And yeah, that was awesome. Thanks for sharing those matches.
Thanks, dude. My pleasure. Okay, man. I'm knocking things all over the place here. That was very fun. So good to have Richard back on the show. Look forward to having him back again next time. I love those rambling chats where it's like, you know, you start on one thing and then you end up at RoboCop. That's a conversation with me in a nutshell, I think. when I find others that can kind of, like, you know, work on that level, I know we're going to be friends. So good. Thank you very much for your time, Richard, and I'm sure everyone out there is as excited as me for any upcoming news that we have about the new VideoPlant website. So again, I'll keep everyone abreast on that. But I also want to say a big thank you to everyone out there who listened to this episode. Thank you for your time. Thank you for willingly, playing my rambling nonsense in your ear holes. I appreciate it. I enjoy doing this thing. It keeps me sane. And yeah, especially like when we get to talk about these things that we're passionate about, be that, like, you know, movies, or wrestling or whatever it is. It's a good time, I feel. That kind of brings us to the end here. We've got another beefy episode here by the looks of it. But that happens. That happens when we get rambling. But that's okay. That's okay. I'd like to say a big thank you to everyone out there who has supported this thing by buying my art. Be that at an in-person event at the Oddities tour this past few weeks, or or online. You know, I have had just been overwhelmed by the amount of kind folks out there who have been indulging me and purchasing my Chris Things 2026 Los Luchadores versus Alien Invaders calendar, as Richard mentioned there. Stoked that Richard got one as well. Thanks again, dude. But yeah, it's been so cool to just be like sending these things all over the world. There's this silly little thing that I make and it's enjoyable for me to put together. And then other people want to have that on their wall, and that is just delightful. But yeah, all of that stuff can be found at christhings.com.au. And I'd also like to say a big old thank you to the great team at Social Suplex for allowing me to do this podcast for almost 100 episodes now. I did not know whether I'd be doing it for that long when I first started this. I did not know whether people would care to listen to some Australian dude ramble about wrestling, but whatever. I guess we're doing it. But big old thank you to the whole team at socialsuplex.com. In addition to this podcast, there's a bunch of other Rad Wrestling podcasts on there, from One Nation Radio to Keeping It Strong Style to the Trish and Sarah podcast. We've got Tunnel Talk, we've got Imps WWE Adventure, All Things Elite, all the things. And man, special shout out to Social Suplex for dropping some breaking news this past week. My mind was blown when I read a report that really made the rounds about, Tanahashi and his big retirement match ending up against Okada, but his original desired opponent, by the sounds of it, was actually the dude that I was hoping to see him get to rough it up against, being Shinsuke Nakamura. And that story apparently was dropped by Trish of Social Suplex. Oh my gosh, man, congratulations there. That's massive. Just want to give a special little shout out there. I hear the Social Suplex team has a new newsletter thing that is available, so yeah, check out socialsuplex.com for the details there. But I'm out of steam, guys. I get to this point of the podcast and I'm just like, just trying to be an intelligible human somewhat, just like losing my marbles a little bit. I think it's been a busy, series of weeks, as I mentioned, with the oddities and everything, and getting back, and just there's always something to do, so it's like sometimes you just gotta try to treat yourself nicely, give yourself a little like breath before we keep on going. But man, I'm excited for 2026. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet, but I have some cool things in store that I'm very excited to announce. And to finish off the year in my last in-person event that I believe we're going to have of the year, it's going to be Wrestling Club this coming Monday night. We'll have all of the stuff for our podcast listeners of the night in question. Hopefully we can do a little bit of a debrief like we have previously, have some audio of the night in question, but I'm very excited about it. A Christmas-themed edition, I'm sure there's something I'll be able to do with that, theming-wise, for our playlist. But yeah, it all goes down this coming Monday, the 15th of December, at the Scratch Bar, a free evening. If you'd like to come on down, please do. We'd love to have you. And I think what a great way to finish off the year, a little Wrestling Club Christmas party. That sounds like a great time to me. Well, even if you can't make it, if you guys are on the other side of the world, please know that I'm so grateful to you guys. Thank you for being here for the ride. Thank you for indulging my nonsense, and thank you for supporting in any way that you do. You guys are the best. This has been Wrestling Art with Chris Things. I am Chris Things. Hope you all have a wonderful week. Until I speak to you next week, bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.